Take your copy of God's Word, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, verse number 16. Galatians 5, verse number 16, and we will try to cover verses 16, 17, and 18 tonight. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these, the flesh and the Spirit, are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. I should have been moving that, but I didn't. But so all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your protection of us. We continually look to you and trust you for everything. So God, we pray that you would help us tonight as we open your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to see clearly the truths that you want us to see, and may we rejoice in them. And may you help us to obey all that you would have us to do. And help us to understand your commands. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Christ's sake, amen. Let me remind you what Paul said right before this text that we read tonight. We looked at that last week. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So Paul says in that text that the freedom that we have been called into by the power of God through the work of Christ is not to be used as an occasion to satisfy our flesh. The freedom that we have in Christ is not to be used to do that which fails to glorify God. Paul says we have been delivered and set free so that we might now be slaves to love and serve one another. We have been rescued from the selfishness of our sinful nature, and we have been freed and enabled to serve one another. In other words, we have been freed to serve. We have been freed from the bondage to sin so that we might now comply with the law that is summed up in thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, my life and your life as a believer in Christ is not our life to do as we please. From the time God saved me, my life is not mine to do as I please. My life is to be used serving my brother and sister in Christ. Because if we don't, he says, if we please the flesh, we will destroy every relationship that we have. We will bite, devour, and consume one another, is what Paul says. And I was thinking today, why do people get angry and leave church and leave those relationships they have enjoyed? Or why do churches split and sever those relationships that were once enjoyed? And I think the answer is in the satisfying of the flesh and not loving your neighbor. The answer is not using freedom for what freedom was designed to do. So Paul continues this thought, and I want to take up here tonight in verse number 16. This I say then, based on everything he's already said, walk. He says to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walk in the Spirit. This is a command. It's in the imperative mood. So loving each other is not optional. Serving one another is not optional. It is commanded. It's a verb. It's an active verb, which means it is our action, and it is in the present tense, which means it is to be continued to be done. So what Paul is talking about is our continual lifestyle, our everyday lifestyle, our everyday goings and comings. We are to walk in the Spirit. So whatever we do in any given day, it is to be done walking in the Spirit. It's our continual lifestyle, our everyday actions. So this command to love one another or to walk in the Spirit is contrary to our natural inclinations. Matter of fact, it seems impossible for me to say I am to love you as I love myself seems to me to be impossible. The thought that I get up every morning and I feel as much concern for your needs as I do for my needs is impossible. But that's what the Christian life is. Caring for others as I care for myself. Caring for your concerns, caring for your needs as much as I care for mine. And that means it's hard. It means it's too hard for us to do. It is impossible for me to do. But we are not left alone to do it. So it's impossible for me to do, but it's not impossible to be done. The command of love is not some new legalistic burden that Paul was laying upon our backs. It's not another burden for us to perform. It is what happens freely when we walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will love one another and serve one another. Say amen. The way, he says, we are to avoid opportunities of the flesh. And instead of fulfilling the lust of the flesh, we love one another and serve one another. The way we do that is by what? Walking in the Spirit. You see that? Does that make sense? So when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Instead, we will love one another and serve one another. So, Loving others as ourselves is not an easy thing for us to do, but the good news is that it is not primarily our work to do, it's God's work to do in us. We simply learn to walk in the Spirit. Matter of fact, I would say this. The only way that I can overcome lust of my flesh, the only way that I can overcome my selfishness and self-centered flesh is by walking in the Spirit. The only way that I can deny myself, the only way that I can love you, the only way that I can serve you faithfully is by walking in the Spirit. So we have this promise. We will not give in to the lust of the flesh if we will walk in the Spirit. Now, Paul doesn't tell us the mechanics of this until we get to verse 18. He gives us verse 17 first. So let's look at that. For, because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. So, this flesh, this Adamic nature, this old man that we still have is unsubmissive. This flesh does not want to submit to God's authority. This flesh does not want to rely on God's work. The flesh always says, I'd rather do it myself. Matter of fact, I would say the flesh always insists on doing it myself. But we have the indwelling of the Spirit, right? Amen? We have this indwelling of the Spirit. So we have flesh and we have Spirit if we're saved, right? And every born-again believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we have flesh, the old sinful nature, and we have the Spirit of God that now lives in us. And Paul says these two things, our flesh and the Spirit that now indwells us, are constantly at war with one another. Now, where is that war raging? In us. Say amen. The war is happening in me. The war is happening in you. If you are a child of God. So he says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The word lusteth here means to crave the opposite of, to desire against, or to protest against. So what the flesh craves is the opposite of what the Spirit craves. The flesh desires the very things that the Spirit hates. And the flesh always protest the direction the Spirit wants us to go. Have you ever been around those people who correct everything you say? Well, the flesh is like that. It's always trying to correct the Spirit. But the Spirit is not passive, say amen. He says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, but then he says, and the Spirit against the flesh. So the Spirit is not passive, right? The Spirit is lusting against the flesh, which means the Spirit craves the opposite of what the flesh craves. The Spirit desires the very things the flesh hates. The Spirit always, always protests the way the flesh would have us to go. So the flesh and the Spirit are both active. Neither one is passive, nor is either one willing to give way to the other. They are, what he says, contrary to the other. They oppose one another. They are enemies of one another. They are adversaries. They are opponents, the flesh and the spirit. They don't get along. Say amen. They war against one another. And this war that is taking place between the spirit and the flesh inside of us affects us in the sense that we are not able to do the things that we would do. And I take those to be bad things and good things. So that I cannot do the bad things to the degree I would, nor can I do the good things to the degree I would, because of this battle between the flesh and the spirit. So what I want you to get tonight is that a Christian, a true believer, is not a person who experiences no bad desires or has no sinful actions. Sometimes people characterize believers as people who never have a bad desire, never commit sin. That's not what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who has been saved by the grace of God, has trusted in the work of Christ, who is indwelt by the Spirit of God, and who now is experiencing a war with his fleshly desires and the desires of the Spirit that now indwell him. And I think it's important that we get that. Because in the Bible Belt, this truth is often missed. If you can sin, or if you don't sin, and you are not feeling some battle going on inside your heart, I don't think you're a child of God. If you are not feeling a tug of war, if you don't feel tug one way and then tug the other, I don't think you're a believer. If you can sin and not feel the conviction of it by the Spirit of God, you're not indwelt by the Spirit. And thus you're not a born-again believer. If you're going to examine yourself to see if you are in the faith or not, I would suggest you examine if there is a war going on inside of you, when you do good or when you do bad. Because for the believer, everything spiritual now becomes a struggle. To sin for a believer is a struggle. To do good for a believer is to struggle. The Christian life is a struggle of the heart. And we look at that and we say, wow, I don't like this war. The difficulty of this war going on in my heart. But the worst thing is if there was no war at all. You need to praise God there's a war going on within you. Because that means the Spirit's there. And the Spirit lives in us to do battle against our flesh. So take heart. Be encouraged if your soul feels like a battlefield. The sign of whether you are indwelt by the Spirit is not that you don't have bad desires, but that you are at war with them. That's the indicator of your salvation. The idea here that Paul is trying to get across is not just that there is a battle going on, but there is victory in the battle. The idea is not just that there's spirit and there's flesh, and these two are warring against one another. The idea here is that there is victory over the flesh. So, when you walk in the Spirit, those bad desires that you still have in your heart don't come to maturity. When you walk by the Spirit, those desires of the flesh are, as Barney would say, nipped in the bud. New God-centered desires crowd out those old man-centered desires. And so verse 16 promises us victory over those desires of the flesh. Go back. If you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That doesn't mean there won't be a war. It means that the Spirit will win the war. Now, the Bible tells us that the flesh has been defeated on the cross. Paul was going to tell us in Galatians in another few verses that his flesh has been crucified on the cross. And I would say tonight that the flesh is good as dead. But there are some pockets of resistance. Our flesh will not lay down its arms, and it has to be fought daily. And the way that we do that is by what? Walking in the Spirit. It's the only way that we can do it. And so, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to live in a way that gives us victory over the resistance of our flesh? Look at verse 18. But if ye be what? Led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and it restrains us from doing what we please all the time. Say amen. And it's not just information in your head. It's not just by data. It's not just because you know something is right and something is wrong. But it's by virtue of a supernatural power inside you. The Spirit is the power against the normal impulses of our fallen flesh. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Understand that the Spirit leads. Paul did not say, if he had, it would have still been true, but he didn't say, Paul did not say, if you follow the Spirit, you are not under the law. That would have been true. But he's using a word here, led, in a passive voice. If you be led passively, not actively. He emphasizes that this is the Spirit's work, not our work. This if, right? This if is not whether you let the Spirit leads you or not. This is an indicator that you are a believer, that you are being led by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in you, I want to guarantee you something. He's leading. So if you are a believer, you are being led by the Spirit and you are not under the law. And the Spirit is not like it's not like the pace car at the Daytona 500. He's like a locomotive. Say amen. We do not follow in our strength. We are led by His power. So walk by the Spirit means that we have coupled our car up to this divine source of power, and we go wherever this locomotive leads. You with me? And the reason that I think that Paul has confidence that some of these Galatians will not be circumcised for their justification, that their eyes will be opened and they will go a different way, is because he believes they are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will lead them into truth. I have told you before about the predictability of people. When believers are confronted with the truth, when true, genuine believers are confronted with the truth, you can accurately predict what they will eventually do. What is that? The right thing. Why? Because they are led by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit is in us, He's leading us, and we're going where He leads us. There will be resistance of the flesh, but the Spirit keeps moving in the direction of truth and Christ and God despite all of the resistance. I thought today, it's sort of like the Spirit is driving our car, but there's a lot of sinful traffic, and He has to weave in and out of the traffic. He's always making progress, but much of the time the progress is slow and always hindered by my flesh. So, we are not made holy by external religious behavior. We are made holy, he says here, by walking in the Spirit. It is not external behavior. It's internal power. Say amen. So ye are not under the law, because the law has no power. None. Your flesh has no power. None. Say amen. The law can't help you. The law cannot empower you. The law cannot help you. And your flesh can't help you either. But what the law could not do, because it is weak to the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So how then is the law fulfilled in us? How do we love one another and serve one another instead of indulging in the flesh? By walking according to the Spirit. Not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So be careful, be very careful, and do not make your sanctification an effort of your flesh. It is a work of the Spirit of God that is in you. And legalism will not work. Legalism cannot overcome any evil desire that you have. Understand that. Laws don't change people's hearts. Laws cannot restrain the flesh. People break the law. We have no ability in our flesh to conform to God's law or God's will. The only way that happens is when there is a new nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit put in us. So the Holy Spirit enables us to do what the law and the flesh could never do. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot do it. Your flesh cannot do it. The law cannot make you do it. The only way you can do it is by the power of the Spirit of God that lives in you. Amen. You with me? We have been set free. We have been rescued. We have been delivered from the bondage of the law, which cannot save us and which cannot sanctify us. And we have been empowered to do what? To love one another and serve one another as we walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit alone can save us through our belief in the gospel. The Holy Spirit alone has the power to conform us to the Word of God and to the will of God. So I think if we're saved, we want to be like Christ, right? We want to be transformed into Christ's likeness, which means that we should want more and more to walk as Christ walked, right? If I want to be Christ-like, I need to walk as Christ walked. How did Christ walk? In the power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is in every single believer. He is there to empower us to live like Christ. His power is internal. He is the energizer. He is the instructor. And he is the restrainer of evil. Say amen. If you think I'm bad, you ought to see me if the Spirit of God wasn't here. If you want to see how wicked and terrible men can truly be, wait till the Spirit of God gets removed. Wait till the church is removed. The Holy Spirit is in every single one of us. I think the way we walk in the Spirit is we expose ourselves to more, to learning more of the will of God and the work of God in the Word of God. Because I think walking in the Spirit happens as I study the Scriptures, as I learn the Scriptures, as I take in the Scriptures, as I think biblically about things, because it is the Word of God that essentially fuels the working of the Spirit of God in me. It's hard for us to be moved in a direction in which we're ignorant. Say amen. So to be saturated with the Word of God is like shoveling coal into the engine of the locomotive that we call the Spirit of God. And he empowers us to triumph over the flesh. So as we study the Word of God and we come across a truth, the Spirit of God that lives in us begins working in us to understand that truth, to recognize that truth, to desire that truth, and give us the power to receive that truth. Say amen. I think that's how we walk in the Spirit, by subjecting ourselves to God's Word. And the Spirit of God takes that Word and empowers us to love one another and serve one another and be what God has ultimately designed for us to be. Say amen. So we have to understand that God did not save us so that we could do whatever we please. God has saved me and rescued me so that I can serve you because I love you. And the reason I love you is because the Spirit of God lives in me, producing that fruit of love. But Paul goes into that in the next few verses as he talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. So it is vitally important that if we are going to walk in the Spirit, if we're going to be recognizing the leading of the Spirit of God in us and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, so we stay in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will use that to show us and to guide us into all truth.